Craig Bolanos joins us now on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Craig's the founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. They're in Inverness and also in Downers Grove. Maybe some hopeful numbers today, huh, Craig?
Might just be seeing some green shoots. I mean, John, we've talked about not betting against the consumer on your show. We've talked about if it doesn't feel like a recession, doesn't look like a recession, might not just be a recession. And unless I'm pinching myself, I don't think I am. I think the S&P 500 just got above that 4,070 number that we haven't been able to punch above, and that sets up for maybe some further bounce to come. But it's going to be data dependent. Is this a bear market rally or the start of people pricing in, not Armageddon, but something that's less bad?
Well, I appreciate your optimism, but you're betting 2 days, really a day and a half against about 7 weeks here, aren't you, Craig?
It is. Let's be sincere. I mean, if we close right now, you know, you're going to see the S&P contract finish the week up, you know, literally some 5.5 to 6%. I mean, we've had a big move since Monday, and some of that move has been supported by data. You know, we've seen some of the long-awaited, long-anticipated reopening in Shanghai, but maybe more importantly, just as when things go bad, they go bad awfully quick, we are seeing some positive, a little bit of what I call good sentiment relative to the inflation data, where it's just not getting any worse. I didn't say it's getting a lot better, but it's not getting any worse. And that's the first sign for everybody to say, wait, maybe we overdid it, not just in the stock market, but in the bond market as well.
It's all about inflation. Is that really that is the issue for the economy this year? I mean, that's really what we're talking about, right?
It is. Everything dovetails from it. It's been inflation data leading to the hawkish commentary on the Fed. Even if we look at it from a financial perspective, think of the largest land war in developed Europe since World War II. That's an inflation story as well, which makes it an interest rate story. So yes, John, all about the inflation data.
But there are just, some say, too many dollars out there. We have too many dollars chasing too few goods, and that's just going to keep inflation high for a while.
Yeah, you know, once the money is printed, last time I checked, you can't get it back. And you're right. This is a classic case this year of an old equation. It's the money supply, that through which we cannot change, times the velocity of transactions. Money supply times the velocity of transactions with a consumer who is just bent on you only live once and getting back out there. That's what's led to a lot of this. And it's going to take some time to work its way through the system. But once we get to the fall, the year-over-year comparisons will or should be a little bit friendlier.
We do want the people to spend their money, though, right? I mean, there's a lot on the sidelines, is my understanding still, or in bank accounts or wherever. But we do want people to spend it, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, on a personal level, I mean, you nor I want anybody to get into financial trouble. We don't want people to spend over their skis, but that's just American, and that's what we oftentimes do. But it is all about M&E, meals and entertainment. It is all about T&L, travel and leisure. And when I looked at the results, you know, this week, you know, whether it's Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Macy's, Nordstrom, or even JetBlue and Southwest, you just see again that this U.S. consumer really appears to be in good shape, and the U.S. consumer has started to tap some of that $2-plus trillion that's in savings to continue to meet their spending desires, I didn't say needs, despite the elevated pricing power of inflation.
This is interesting. Craig Bolanos is on the line. We're going to talk more about this. I want you to tell me then how you reconcile all of that with what's happening on the real estate front. Well, we're talking on the Wintrust Business Lunch in maybe a little more optimistic fashion with Craig Bolanos, who's the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. So, Craig, you have not been necessarily repositioning radically your investments or your clients' investments in the last couple months?
Well, I think having strong rebalancing protocols for absolutely everybody is mission critical, and making sure every stock has a PE, that's the price to earnings ratio, but you've had to make sure along this entire pathway since November that the E was actually there. You know, so we've had a bias towards quality a shift where we balanced out from growth into value. So all of those things are happening behind the scenes. But the biggest decision for most investors from a tactical standpoint is, are we heading into a recession? Are we heading into a hard landing? To those vexing questions, we have said no. So we've been encouraging investors to actually invest through this transition over the last 5 months in the hopes, but data points that I think we have better times ahead.
Well, you know, it's intriguing to me because we get hung up on a word bear or recession. And if 20% is a threshold off the peak and you're at 19.9, you're there, whether you call it that or not. So I don't know what your reaction to that is, but I mean, we cannot deny that we are well off our previous highs.
Oh, we cannot deny. And what I think about is, you know, I wrote a quick piece on Thursday where, you know, Thursday of this week was the 100th trading day of the year. And I cannot deny the simple math that, you know, who's counting but John, we are at the Wealth Management Group. It's the fourth worst start to a year ever. That's absolutely terrible. And I agree, you know, seeing the S&P touch some 19.9% intraday, it did go into the bear territory, down 20. People have a visceral reaction when they hear the word bear market. But I think for those investors who had decent assembly of quality in their portfolio, they can take some level of what I call homage or reassurance that in the past, if I look at the previous other five worst starts to the year, 1932, 1939, 1940, I'll spare you the rest of the list, the average gain, the average pop after the big drop was 19.1%. And if we're just having a sizable growth scare, we could set up for a similar trade into the second half of 2022.
Well, we're due for a downturn. Call it what you want. But I mean, when you look at what's happened in the last 4 years or 10 years, 2 years, the field has to level out at some point.
And we've done that. I mean, we have permanently repriced a lot of stocks that did not command the valuation that they had. You look in the tech-heavy, tech-laden NASDAQ, there are lots of companies that weren't trading on price to earnings. They were trading on price to sales. And with the large adjustment we've had in interest rates this year, which gets into everyone's financial model, called discounted cash flow, we cannot deny the fact that certain portions of the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite have been taken into the wood chipper, and some of those have gone into the burn pile. And some of these stocks have seen 70, 80, 90% declines in price since November of last year. Let's not kid ourselves. That stuff is permanently damaged. That's what happens when you're in the burn pile. It's not coming back. But the companies with proven management who are delivering earnings are going to work their way through this environment. And for that reason, I think investors need to continue to own great companies of America as a hedge to continue to fight against this inflation.
I wonder, though, how that's going to happen with fuel prices as high as they are.
The fuel is tough. There's no doubt. You know, someone asked me the other day, they go, how come you're driving the sedan instead of the pickup truck? Is it because of gas prices? And I said, no, that's because my son pulled behind me and blocked me from taking the pickup truck out of the garage. But when people make this a true story, but when people make those comments, it's real. You know, in fact, when I was at the studio downtown the other day, you know, my car didn't even fill all the way up because I didn't realize that the gas pump shut off automatically at $75. That wasn't enough for me to fill it up. So how can that not affect the psychology?
That's a thing. I've not heard of that. The gas pump won't give you more than $75 worth?
Well, you know what? Listen, I've got a really high FICO score. I've never seen this before. I live in suburban Cook. I was in downtown Cook, and all I can tell you is the gas station, I'm not going to name it, had a hard stop at the pump for $75. I couldn't figure out what was going on, so I walked inside, asked the young man behind the counter, and he said, no, we have a hard stop at $75, and I, you know, smiled and said, well, that's going to be tough at these prices for people with trucks.
Yeah, I'll take my 4 gallons and go. So then talk to me about home sales. What do you see on the real estate front?
Well, it's been, well, first I'll say the obvious. If anybody thinks there's going to be a year over increase of 20% again, that's not happening this year because the rising cost of borrowing. We've seen mortgage rates that used to be printed with a 3, they're now printed with a 5. That has definitively taken a dent in the pace of home growth. But many people are surprised that we still have financing waivers, appraisal waivers. I don't know that I know anyone's waiving an inspection anymore. That was crazy last year in 2021. But the reality is we have such low inventory on the market. The housing market remains robust, but just as there is FOMO, fear of missing out, people wanting to get property while interest rates are relatively low still, I do believe this summer you're going to have a different type of FOMO, which is people who have properties they probably want to sell. They don't want to miss this high mark either. So we do anticipate more inventory of homes comes into the marketplace, and that inventory of homes combined with a higher cost to borrow is going to continue to support a cessation in these elevated year-over-year prices for new home and existing home sales.
Craig Bolanos is the co-founder, CEO at Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com's the website. We'll talk to you again, Craig. Always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
John, thank you.
We mentioned Friday night flights on our Xfinity Fun Things to Do list the other day, but let's talk a little bit more about it. Hi, Ray. You're on WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for what you guys are doing. It's nice that folks are getting out and mingling. Where do we go to Friday night flights?
Yeah, and so I'm really happy to be here to talk about Friday night flights. You know, we're hosting a series of events across the city. You know, the thing I really love about Chicago is the neighborhoods, right? And so, you know, back in 2017, we launched a series of events across the city to really highlight the neighborhoods and the breweries in those neighborhoods. So Friday Night Flights is kicking off tonight at Gallagher Way. We're having two sessions between 5 and 7 p.m. and 8 and 10 p.m. Tickets are still on sale, and that's tonight. And then on June 24th, we're going down to the south side for our second event in Bridgeport. And then it's on to the West Loop on August 26th. And then down to Malt Row, which is Chicago's most diverse beer destination, on September 16th for an Oktoberfest themed event. And so it's a great time. Each one of these events have food vendors and music, so it's a good old-fashioned Chicago block party.
Gallagher's Way is the triangle of grass on the other side of Wrigley Field along Clark, and it's a great place for a lot of events. They do movies in the park there. They turn it into a Chris Kindle market at Christmas time. So you're going to be right there, and then I get my wristband or something, and then I'm able to try all the different beers. Is that the idea?
That's exactly right. You know, so there's 36 breweries coming, and you know, there's very few places where you could try beer from 36 different breweries. So once you get entry into the event, tickets are $25 in advance or $30 at the door. You get a punch card for 10 samples of beer, and you get to try beer from 10 different breweries. So it's a great way to experience breweries from all over Chicago in one stop.
Is there food?
Yeah, there's going to be food vendors and food trucks, and so a little bit of everything for everybody. So it should be a great time.
And then the parade picks up and goes somewhere else the next weekend. Do you do this every weekend?
So we're bouncing around a little bit. So the next event, like I said before, is going to be on June 24th. We're going down to Bridgeport. And so there we're inviting breweries from Pilsen, Bridgeport, Beverly, the South Loop neighborhoods. And what's really cool about this is we're partnering with Kimski. Kimski does a Korean-inspired Polish street food. And so in addition to trying really great craft beers from that neighborhood, you're going to be able to try some pretty unique food. And, of course, there'll be music as well.
What's the number of neighborhoods in Chicago? Is it 59? Is it 60? I should know
you
that.
You probably know better than I do, but that sounds about right to me. And you know, what's really cool is that there's virtually a craft brewery in every single one of them. That's what makes
this
industry.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Pete just whispered in my ear, okay, it's 77, and we don't have 77 unique craft brews in Chicago, but really most of the neighborhoods are known by their beers. Well, this one's in that neighborhood. That one's in that neighborhood. Maybe other big cities are like that, but I think that is a very fun thing about Chicago right now.
I think that's right. And, you know, craft breweries are such a great gathering places for communities. And, you know, breweries often go into, you know, abandoned warehouse buildings or buildings that are, you know, not being used for other uses, and just kind of, you know, revitalize a lot of communities. So it's a great business. It's a thriving industry here. We just passed 300 breweries across the state of Illinois, which is an amazing milestone if you think back a decade when there was fewer than 50. And so it's a really blooming industry, and it contributes about $3.3 billion to the Illinois economy, and it creates, you know, thousands and thousands of jobs. So it's a really great industry, and like you said before, there's virtually a brewery in every neighborhood in Chicago.
And I'm glad you mentioned that you're the executive director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, and a lot of the small towns that, you know, once upon a time you wouldn't think would have their own brewery, now do. I've got a place in Ottawa, Illinois, and there's the Tangled Roots Brewing Company there. They make a whole flight of great beers, and it's been a little bit of an economic or gastro anchor for that town. It's really a great thing.
And that's exactly right. It is an economic and gastro anchor. And, you know, and what's really cool about these smaller towns where you might have seen one brewery a couple of years ago, there's two or three popping up. And the thing I love about craft breweries is that they're all making unique beer. So, and they're all so different, right? So you can go into three or four or five different craft breweries and have a completely different experience. And so I tell people to try them all.
Okay, so let's start at Wrigley Field at Gallagher Way, and that's this Friday. You can buy tickets in advance. You can show up. They got two flights, if you will. One goes from 8 to 10. First one goes 5 to 7, then they go 8 to 10. And if I'm going to click on, where do I go to find out more?
Sure. If you want to find out more, you just go to ChicagoFridayNightFlights.com.
ChicagoFridayNightFlights.com. Ray Stout's the executive director of the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. Have a great weekend. Have a great run. It sounds like a fun idea.
Thanks for having me, and I'm excited to be out there amongst people again.
Imagine that. It's 12:43. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we've got more business news now. This is Dave Schwann.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. If you're traveling this Memorial Day weekend, you'll be among the largest holiday crowds in several years. AAA predicts more than 39 million people will travel by car. That's up more than 8% from last year and almost equal to pre-pandemic numbers from 2017. Gas prices remain high. The average price around Chicago is $4.83 per gallon, about 23 cents more than the national average. Carvana is back in business in Illinois. Cranes reports the online used car company reached a temporary deal with the Illinois Secretary of State's office to resume selling cars. The company's license was suspended earlier this month for failing to properly transfer titles and misusing out-of-state temporary plates. The new deal says Carvana can't issue temporary plates, and titles must go through third-party vendors in Illinois. That's your Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Dave Schwann.
With the business of food, this is Steve Alexander.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about the business of fuel. You were just talking about the limit on people filling up. You mentioned trucks. So I call the I-80 truck stop out in Walcott, Iowa, billed as the world's largest truck stop. Right, they are selling diesel fuel now for $5.39 per gallon. There's no limit for trucks. In fact, there's no limit for anybody out there on either side, gasoline or diesel. And most of those trucks have two tanks, one on each side of the cab, 150 gallons each. So 300 gallons, assuming you're bone dry and you filled up 300 gallons, would cost you $1,617.
Wow.
Holy moly. And that's why freight prices are higher.
Happy Friday. That's why the food costs a lot.
Yeah, and speaking of food, happy Friday, and officially, happy National Italian Beef Day. At WGNRadio.com, you can hear an extended version of yesterday's feature about the Chicago Italian beef business and how the sandwich was invented here, including how Chicago's first Italian beef stand was a front for a bookie operation. But today, it's Mr. Fizz Friday, ahead of a long weekend, which means we've got a lot of yard work to do, don't we, Jim?
We sure do. Memorial Day weekend, the first really summer holiday weekend, and some wonderful warm weather as well. Soils are beginning to warm up, and we can plant almost anything now. And in the vegetable garden, it's harvesting time. You should be picking asparagus, rhubarb, and if you were good about getting radishes and green onions out early, they should be pickable right now. But it's time to do some planting. We need to be planting beets, beans, carrots, and greens. But there's some things that we've been holding off on, particularly because soils have been so cold. But once soils get up to 65 or 70 degrees, we can sow the seeds of vine crops like cucumbers, zucchinis, and melons. And it's time to set out some of the plants that really like warm weather, like the peppers and okra. Out in the lawn, you know, there are always things to do with the lawn. This weekend, get everything mowed correctly and edge. Trim around the trees and walks and so forth so you have it looking very nice for the weekend. And one last thing that you need to do outdoors is the spring flowering bulbs. Timing on that is very important if you're going to do any trimming. Need to be trimmed as soon as the flowers come off, which is what's happening right now with lilacs, rhododendrons, and so forth. Because if you trim them now, there's plenty of time for the new buds to form for flowers next year. If you wait too long, you're going to have beautiful plants next year, but no flowers. Actually, when we get done with all our chores out there and things are back in shape, we need to sit back and enjoy the holiday. And remember why we celebrate. Proudly put out your flag, attend a parade, say thanks to a vet, have the first barbecue of the season to make a rhubarb pie. We've had some rhubarb pie already. It's good. This is a good year because there's plenty of moisture.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
We want to take just a minute here on the Wintrust Business Lunch to introduce you to Jeffrey Beckham Jr. He's the CEO of something called Chicago Scholars. Hey, Jeffrey, you're on WGN. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
Two things I want to talk to you about, what you all do, and then the need to get people of color to also get involved in what you do. First, what are Chicago Scholars?
Yeah, Chicago Scholars is an organization that serves over 5,000 first-generation and low-income students from Chicago to complete college and get into their careers. We really work to build the next generation of leadership in the city of Chicago.
So is it a scholarship program or what?
Yeah, so we provide college counseling. We provide access to resources with colleges and like scholarships. And, you know, an average of student from Chicago may get an hour or two of college counseling. Through our program, we provide anywhere between 12 and 14 hours. And so we really provide them with all the resources and access to resources like scholarships to get to school. But we don't just stop there. We stay with students for 7 years through college and really work to build and foster leadership, help them with things like internships, job placements, and things that will make them the most successful in the marketplace. So we do a real holistic approach to supporting our students to and through careers.
You must roll your eyes or get frustrated when people say, well, the kids should just go to college. And for some families or 18-year-old students in high school, that sounds like going to the moon. They just don't understand the process.
You hit it on the head. I mean, if you're from a low-income community and you've never had anyone in your family attend a college or a university, you can understand how taxing that could be. Even for those of us that have had resources and people around us that have helped us with those opportunities, that decision, that opportunity to fill out that FAFSA, even finding the right school can pose a challenge. And there's expenses tied to that as well, right? Like having to get to a school to tour, knowing what the right university will be, that's a good academic fit, that a good match for you. All of those things require people who know. And so we provide that support for those students who may not have that.
It's probably a little bit of an identity thing, too. The kids have to think they can be college material. I wonder how many of them could be, but just think, that's a pretentious thing for me to even think about.
You hit it on the head. I mean, imposter syndrome is real for all of us, right? Many of us suffer from that. But imagine you being the first in your family. And I think that that's something that we really work very hard to provide for our scholars. We give them mirrors and windows of what they can become. We provide them with mentors, college counselors, and other resources from the community to allow them to see that college and the dream of college, and not just college, but getting that job, the right job that can change the paradigm of your family's life, is a real opportunity for them.
So what do you need? Do you need dollars, or do you need donuts, or do you need people? What are you looking for?
We're looking for all of the above. We always say time, talent, treasure, and testimony. So folks that can come and give back and speak to our young people. If you're an employer out there, like I said, we've got 5,000 students, 1,400 alumni walking around that are looking for jobs and opportunity. And of course, funding. You know, we brought in our new class of 550 scholars a couple weeks ago, but we had close to 1,200 apply, and all 1,200 could have been in our program. But in order to be able to serve those students, I've got to raise more money. And so we're looking for financial partners, too, as well, who want to invest in talented young people who are the future of Chicago.
Now, what a great cause. What a great idea. Jeffrey Beckham Jr. is the CEO of Chicago Scholars. Right now, click on chicagoscholars.org. chicagoscholars.org. Sounds like a really smart path. Jeffrey, let's connect again. Good luck to you, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for all you do. I really appreciate this opportunity.